How do you spend your evenings? Let me guess. You're flipping through the TV channels. Maybe your wife is looking through Facebook. Well, let me tell you how we spend our evenings. We like to soak. Oh, yeah. Because there's nothing better than an evening together. Soaking away the cares of the day in our own Bullfrog Spa. Go to Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas, 1333 East Red Hills Parkway today, so you can start soaking tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Hi, I'm Gil Fulbright. The people who run my campaign, they've made this commercial, and I'm in it. This campaign, it's not about me. It's about crafting a version of me that'll appeal to you. A version that visits random work sites with paid actors, pointing at things. Has a conventionally attractive yet curiously still family. Listening to my constituents, legislating, these are things I don't do. What I do is spend about 70% of my time raising funds for re-election. I'd do anything to stay in office. My name's Gil Fulbright, but hell, I'll change my name to Phil Goldbright or Bill Fulbright or fill up my mouth with farts. These are the things that are important to me. And these are the fine people that finance my campaign. Now, in order to do these things, I have to stay in office. And to stay in office, I have to keep these guys happy. Now, if any of these things make these guys unhappy, well, my hands are tied. So come November, the choice is clear. Do you want another spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? Or a spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? I'm Philip, a mouth with farts, and I approve this message.
Hi there, Kate Daly Show. How are you on a Friday? Big show today, Alan Stevo from Mises.org and also Bitcoin. He wrote the book on Bitcoin. He'll be joining us, and we have a lot to talk about. And then Joel Skousen is coming in. So should be a great show today. I welcome you to the show. We're going to be talking a little bit about the governor's race. And I'll tell you, you know, right out of the gate, I always wonder why people rush the ballot. Don't you, Uncle Milty? Uncle Milty's with me.
I do. It has always amazed me.
Yeah.
Because anything can happen.
I know. And you know what? So this is I think that there are great reasons to understand why maybe wait until you're supposed to vote. Because I think that the way things get, tumbled around and new things come out and all kinds of things. It's almost like we check it like a box, like a to-do. Oh, it came and now I have that on my to-do list and I got to get it out. No, it needs to be a really careful vote. It should be a very careful, conscious vote.
Well, you know, it's always from the start of early voting, it was promoted as a way to keep people who can't get to the polls from being disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm.
But what if
so early.
What if the 50 million people that have voted 11 days before the election find out that President Trump really is a Putin puppet? But they've already voted for him.
Right, right. Yeah. And Tony, what is his name? I'm gonna screw this up. Bobulinski. Coming out with all the information on Biden, you know, there's a lot of things and it can hit closer to home as well. And so it's not, you know, it's not always fun, to be in this seat. And I told you on Wednesday as we went through the ballot, there were all these people, okay, this is who I'd vote for and so forth. And the problem is that can be subject to change. And when it is subject to change, that's why maybe hold off a little bit until we get extremely close to the election. That way, we can, you know, make sure of all of our votes, because when information comes out, it's tough. And so in light of that, you know, there was some speculation that we were going to drop a big bombshell yesterday. And that was never the case, actually. That was never the case. And so when that rumor went around, you know, there was some information we were vetting, but it wasn't, I mean, honestly, that's just not the way we do stuff. We don't work like that. The show doesn't work like that.
Right. And we weren't even thinking anything would ever really come of it. We just decided this should be investigated.
Right, but the more information came in, I mean, I just feel like, I feel like you guys should know, and we actually were kind of hoping this information would come from the candidate, but it's not. I don't see that coming, you know, so far. And so we thought, well, if we're in the position where we're saying, hey, you know, vote for certain people, we want to make sure that we correct that based on new information. We want to make sure to get that to you. Otherwise, I probably don't know if I'd want to do this, you know, but but there was some information that came out on Madeline, who was the write-in for governor, that she possibly didn't meet the resident requirement.
Right.
Okay. Now, the resident requirement is vague in the handbook in that it says that, you know, it's 5 years residency. Okay.
Right.
Now, some people could interpret that to mean any 5 years. But that's not the case, because it actually cites the article in the Constitution. And the article in the Constitution actually states that, in fact, I'll read it to you, actually. It's Section 3, and it says, no person is eligible to any of the offices provided for in Section 1 unless at the time of election that person is qualified voter and has been a resident of the state for 5 years next preceding the election. It says preceding the election. So there were some pieces of evidence that came out that said that maybe she lived somewhere else and that maybe that state was North Carolina.
Well, it actually, what happened was back in August, mm-hmm. someone happened to come across a news article on ABC News out of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And it discussed the Kazantis family moving from North Carolina to Colorado.
Right.
And so the local person, Julie, asked, what
is this?
This
is back in August.
Yeah, back in August. Asked Madeline, what's going on here?
Right. But this article says something different because it says you were moving from another state to another state, not Utah. Right?
Yeah. So never got an answer. Never received an answer.
Clear back in August?
Clear back in August. And asked several times since August. Finally, a few days ago, my wife knows her. And my wife saw it and said something to me, and I found out, and I talked to...
So we have to look at that.
Right, I talked to Julie and said, well, let me look into it. And here we are.
Yeah, and so there are home records of homes, a home bought in North Carolina, and then a subsequent address in Colorado, Colorado Springs, in February of this year. And so that would mean that that requirement wasn't met. So in my... You know, because I can see the information, you know, I would not be writing her in as a candidate, because it would mean she would be ineligible because of the residency.
Right.
She wouldn't meet the residency. And so, you know, that's why this is hard, is because, you know, she's a good gal. I'm sure she's got the best intentions, and I'm sure she wants to do, you know, all the great things. But if you don't meet those requirements, it can come back to haunt you, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be... if I hadn't have seen these things with my own eyes, then, you know, it would be subject to interpretation, or maybe there's a reason, or maybe, you know, maybe she thought that the years were not having to be, maybe
near.
She didn't read the Utah Constitution that states the qualifications. That could be. I mean, a lot of people don't go that far.
Because there is a section that just says 5 years residence.
Yeah.
Well, you know, being here during kindergarten through fifth grade doesn't qualify.
Right, or
qualify.
High school. Right.
Yeah.
You have to be here preceding the election. And so if that were to ever be a problem, maybe it wouldn't. You know, there's lots of candidates where I guess it's not an issue.
Yeah, it's never found out.
Yeah, but I don't want to cast a vote knowing that issue is that issue and could be a problem. So this has nothing to do with, you know, I've invited her on my show. I haven't had a response like that, and I've invited her to at least explain it. I haven't had a response. So, you know, all I can do is bring that information to you, and you can decide what you want to do with that. It's not, I don't have any, it's like, this is not my, I don't care. I mean, either way, I just want to vote for the candidate that is eligible and could get there, that I believe in. And it wouldn't be Cox, because good heavens, you know.
But anybody can go back weeks and weeks and weeks. We never said anything against this candidate.
No. In fact, I actually said, you know, go ahead and write her in.
Yeah, write her in if you want, if you like it. But because we had nothing negative right. to say about her.
I know. And so I hope it's not one of these cases where, you know, she would feel like everyone's against her. Because that's not it at all. This is about eligibility. This is, has nothing to do with my feelings toward a candidate. This is like, okay, I've supported you. You know, I didn't endorse her, but I supported writing in her or the IAP, mm-hmm. right? And I said there are great things about both. But I felt like you guys should know that. You guys should know that. I'm not gonna keep that from you. If I'm seeing things with my own eyes and I've got the records right in front of me, I'm not gonna not say something to all of you because I feel like you need the opportunity to know that too. And then now if you cast a vote, if she has some great reason, if she was able to bypass the qualifications in the Constitution, then great. And if not, at least you know when you cast your vote, you're taking mm-hmm. the chance of that eligibility thing coming up. That's really my bottom line. That's really all I'm about. So yeah. I don't care otherwise.
The only thing that bothers me is that she's had since August to clear this up.
Right.
I mean, it's not like somebody just jumped on her and 2 days before the election.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping that it's not one of these, you know, maybe there's a good explanation. Maybe she didn't know. I don't know. I really don't know. She hasn't responded to me. And that kind of worries me, to tell you the truth, that she didn't respond to me. So I am just telling you, you can do what you want with that. And, and it's frustrating. And I know that's got to be a little frustrating.
Because, but it's a great lesson against early voting.
No, it really is, actually. Yep. I mean, we can do the best we can do in vetting everything. I mean, my gosh, there's only so much we can do. And see, the politicians are easy for me to comment on because I can go, this is their record,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Even if I don't like them personally, I'm like, well, you know, this is their record. They're good or they're bad or whatever. And but in this case, it would be very difficult because there's been no previous office held at all for somebody running for governor. So there was no way to know that. And this is why, you know, it's kind of like with a heavy heart, I share that just because I don't want to, like, you know, but it is an issue and it could become a bigger issue. And if somebody asked her in August, I have to be honest, that bothers me that it wasn't addressed back then.
Yep.
So that kind of worries me there. But I thought you guys would want to know that. The 5 years didn't happen. So there's that. Anything else you want to say about that?
No, I think that, I just want it clear that this was not any kind of an attack on a candidate.
Oh, my gosh. There's no reason for me to do that.
No,
I don't care. I mean, she's a good gal. I'm sure she meant well.
We didn't have any dog mm-hmm. in the chase, you know?
Yeah.
It was just, this came upon us and we had to vet it. That's yep. what we do.
I know. Yep. And so we felt like at least we could get this information to you right now. You have a little bit of time before the election and you can make that decision on your own. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Make sure you get over to Auto Body Central. They'll fix your cars up just great. In fact, they're really, really good at it. They've worked on some of mine, and let me tell you, my cars look really good. And they're talented. They know what they're doing. And if you get in an accident, especially on one of these crazy interchanges, you can actually request them. You can actually just go to them. And ABC, Auto Body Central, and they are so highly rated. You'll love these guys. Just think ABC if you get in an accident.
I like them so much, I'm thinking about going out and getting an erect just to see their good work.
Stop it. Uncle Melty and I are... Thanks for coming in on this Friday.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, okay. Well, you know what? Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Hey, I was I was listening to the Madeline Kazantis thing, and kind of a chuckle went through me. Mm-hmm. I think we should all vote for her, get her elected, and then if they go after her for the residency thing, we can lose Mitt Romney at the same time.
You know what?
He doesn't have 5 years.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah. I'm actually going to say that is not a bad idea. Yeah, because he did it.
I like a good fight.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is what he did. He actually lied about living here. So just because he covered his rear end pretty good and has some people covering for him, I mean, everybody in Utah knows that he wasn't living here.
He was not a
resident.
And
so he was not a resident here. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and that can come out very easily. And if it's in the Utah Constitution, he's dead.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. So. Thank you.
I'm going to take the risk for sure.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you. Really appreciate that. Yeah. I think this is all up to you guys. You do what you want, but I just wanted you to be informed. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Sure.
I couldn't get through yesterday when you were talking about our roads.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And a couple weeks ago in our neighborhood, we received a notice that they're going to repave our neighborhood road and not to park our cars. Well, there were two cars left on the street, and instead of the St. George employees calling the police department to find out who these cars belong to and have them moved or have them towed, you won't believe this, they actually paved black asphalt around the cars. So now there are two spots on our street that are not paved because cars were parked there.
Oh, I bet that looks good. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, yeah, I don't even know what to say to that one. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. I don't even know what to say. You can comment on the Madeline residency issue. You can comment on anything we talk about, even recycling. I hope everybody's opted out because, holy cow, you should. But you know what? The caller brought up a great point. Romney never qualified. And so in coming out with this information, like I said, you can do with your vote what you want because you're taking that chance, but that's okay. Take the chance if you want to take the chance. If not, oh well. But at least you know. At least you know. At least you're going in informed. But it does worry me, though, that she was asked since August about it. So that kind of, that does give me kind of a, that worries me a little bit. But this wasn't sudden. This isn't sudden. So there's that. But with that being said, why is Romney our senator? I don't know. When the entire state, it's not like the entire state didn't know that he wasn't a resident just because, you know, he had an address here.
Yeah. He just used this.
I know. And it's so well known. And so you have to wonder why our conservatives are covering for him. Knowing that deception took place. Why? See, I don't like that deception. I really don't. I don't like it. This is why we out the records that the politicians don't want you to know about. You know, this is why we try to let people know what's going on. And when they're constant backstabbing and giving away your lands and inviting the vaccines to come in via your emergency services and all the stuff they're doing. You know, do you remember when Vickers wore the crown of the constituents' letters?
Yeah,
and mocked the constituents? Who does that? What kind of guy does that? Come on. You know, we have to call this stuff out. And I just, more transparency, please. And so if she did know about this since August and just didn't answer it, then I think people need to ask her about that because you need to know why that wasn't addressed. But other than that, you could cast a vote and say, okay, I'm voting, you know, and I'll do it because maybe it would expose Romney. I don't know. But the residency issues for Madeline, that is an issue. It's an issue.
Almost every problem we have in government relates to transparency.
Yeah.
That's why that word's used so often anymore.
Right.
And especially when you're directly asked a question, like Biden,
right,
and whether he's going to pack the Supreme Court.
Right, exactly. Or the new expose today by Tony, who outs his dealings with China.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Keith.
Hi there.
You mentioned Romney, and when he was running, I did look and see what the requirement was, and he did own a home here in Utah next to his son's house, and so... Even though he might not have stayed there very much, technically he was a resident.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know he played it that way. I know all of Utah knows he played it that way, but it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating. I mean, Romney's such a cad that I just have such a tough time with him in general. I wish he'd just come out as a liberal, but he didn't, and he used our state.
You know, my question, though, is how did they allow her to be a write-in candidate without, you know, knowing that she met the requirements?
They don't ask for proof up front.
They don't ask for proof up front.
You sign an affidavit, that's all.
Yeah. I just don't want, I don't want this to come up and haunt anyone and think that, you know, we didn't let them know about there's an issue here. Because there's a clear issue. I've got three pieces of evidence in front of me. I mean, this isn't me just theorizing. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. And
thanks.
And it does point out early voting is not a good thing.
It isn't. Amen. I don't know why people rush to do it. I'm serious. I think it's like a to-do list thing or, oh, this is a task I've got to get done. You know, we need to take that so seriously because we're accountable and responsible for how we vote conscience-wise. We are personally accountable for that, right?
Absolutely.
So,
All right. And maybe the person you want to vote for could die in a car accident before
things could happen. You're right. Thank you, especially if the Clintons are around. Thank you. Really, really appreciate that. No, that's very true, though. Anything can happen before the election. Why are people in such a rush?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Because your vote means nothing once something happens, and you've already voted.
I know. And so people ask, you know, okay, who would I be voting for in this case for governor? I'm gonna go with IAP because I do believe after this year, I don't agree actually with their education views. I don't. So I just want to make that clear. Everything else though, I thought was good. And here's the deal though. We just went through a whole year of COVID. Spencer Cox loves locking you guys down and we're headed for another lockdown, whether you believe it or not. Europe and Italy just announced their cases going up and they're ready for a lockdown. Yep. It even said it in the articles that are coming out of Europe. We will follow suit. And so we are headed toward a lockdown. Spencer Cox and Gary Herbert love lockdowns. They're only listening to Angela Dumm, the epidemiologist of our state that the CDC installed on February 15th. Okay. There's a reason they kicked out the people that had been there forever and put her at the head. And so here's the deal. Your freedom comes first now.
Yep.
Education comes under that only because our freedom is at stake here. So I can't vote for Spencer Cox. I can't vote for anyone that supports these lockdowns. And I just, he's just deplorable to me. He's horrific. I can't even imagine having a more horrific governor because he's like Romney. He's even worse than Gary Herbert. Gary Herbert just doesn't know better. Spencer Cox does, you know, if that's the case. So, anyway.
Absolutely.
But I'll probably throw my vote to the IAP. I talked about them before as being a good candidate that we're running, and I've talked about them several times. I even had them on the show. And I do think that when it comes to freedom, they do understand, you know, that you don't control people's freedom.
And it's my understanding that they're not all on the same page on the education issue.
That's true. You're right. That's true. So, you know, and maybe they'll
work that out.
But that was really the only problem I think I had basically with that. So that's the Independent American Party, the IAP. So that's probably who I would cast a vote for. They're already on the ballot.
Yeah.
So, but I can't vote for someone knowing that there's a residency issue there. I couldn't do it. But if you can, that's okay too.
Sure.
I'm actually supporting you. Do you know? Obviously, whatever you want, you're gonna. You know, you're a grown up. You're gonna do whatever you want. But at least you know. So, and there are three pieces of evidence. I mean, that's not. It's not like. I just really want people to know that I don't have a dog in this fight, and I'm not really. Whatever. I'm not the hill I want to die on. Let's just put it that way.
Is Pony in the Show better?
What?
Than Dog in the Fight?
For election years?
Yeah.
Probably. What did you think of the debate?
I thought it was as close to last a night. Real debate as we're ever going to see again.
Right. I mean, yeah, for sure.
I just don't like the problem for me with the biggest problem with the debate was the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
The moderator absolutely tried to skew it in favor of Biden. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, do no journalists with actually, like, just neutrality exist anymore? That's kind of amazing that all the people picked to do that job are pro-liberal, mm-hmm. progressive.
Well, I actually believe mm-hmm. that Biden is using some type of electronic communication mm. with his staff.
Oh, yeah.
And so when as you watch his eyes, you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
But what the moderator was doing was giving him time mm-hmm. to actually do that communication.
Ah.
If you look at the way things got paused, where she argued with the president or talked mm-hmm. to the president.
Oh, then somebody
Biden's
was talking.
Being talked to. Here's what you need to say. Here's
right.
That, I think, is how that goes on.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm just, you know, it's after doing this for all these years, it just never ceases to amaze me, number one, what goes on. I think it's tough on the whole issue of just feeling like at any point the wind comes out of the sails, you know, like I'm to the point now where after 9 years, I'm like, oh, what's coming, you know, because it's tough to have a lot of faith in people. It really is. It's tough. It's hard. And I know you guys are probably feeling that too.
It just seems to me that it should just be people who really love America and want to do the best for America. Why is there any other issue involved?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what our job mm-hmm. is, and this is what we're going to do. And it doesn't include feeding the entire world right. with our tax dollars. Right. It, you know, creating wars for other countries. It doesn't include any of that.
Right.
So
right.
let's just worry about the United States of America and become isolationists again.
Yeah, it's just we have a lot of people in federal office and in the states, too, that just don't love the country.
Nope.
And then there's those that love the country that should be running for office and don't. But you can see why, you know. But
yeah.
Anyway, all right. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. We'll take your calls.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show for you. And, make sure you go to Tropical Pool and Spa, and I love mine, you know that. But the swim spas are amazing, too. Swim spas are great for exercising. You can take it with you when you move, and they are just fantastic. Use them as a pool in the summer when your kids or grandkids are at home. I mean, it's just an amazing versatility, I guess, and they're affordable. So why would you not do it? I mean, it's kind of amazing. It provides a current that you can swim against, which gives you that kind of, you know, you can kind of raise your endurance level and help your heart and bump the weight off. And you can be working on that just right in your backyard. So I love the swim spas. I think they're just fantastic. Make sure that you are taking part in that. Go to Tropical Fiberglass Pool. They build beautiful pools, but they also have these swim spas and hot tubs that are just truly amazing. And with the hot tubs, build a deck around it. I mean, there are so many really neat things you can do with these swim spas and pools. The decks are amazing that you can build around them. So anyway, get over to Tropical. I love those guys. You know what? Let's take a caller, shall we? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
You'd better watch out, Uncle Milty, you know, saying stuff about being independent and being, you know, minding your own business. You're sounding a lot like Thomas Jefferson.
How dare you,
Milty. That's just not politically correct, Kate.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-oh. I love it. Thanks. Yep, thanks. I really appreciate it. Yeah, 888-673-1450. If you'd like to weigh in, please do. I mean, we'd like to hear from you. 888-673-1450. You know, people keep asking me about the ballot, and I get it, because I do a lot of research. The judges are all pretty good. There's one judge I had a question about, because she really came down on a whistleblower that I think the whistleblowers need to be heard. And when I see judges do things where I'm against whistleblowers, that bothers me. But and that her name was Jill. But as far as the judge list goes, but I think the judges around here are pretty good. And I can't vote for the county commissioners, though, when people ask me. I just can't. I just know too much about what they're doing. I just can't. I just can't do it. I could never vote for Ibsen. I could not cast a vote for that guy if you paid me. I couldn't vote for Stewart if you paid me. I know too much about his record. Or Snow. Snow doesn't hardly ever stand up, maybe here and there, once in a blue moon, never. I mean, it's just awful. I don't have confidence in any of those candidates. And Brad Last and Vickers. No, no, no.
Yeah. I think it's time for us to start a grassroots movement to expand the county commission to 5 or 7 members.
Yeah.
3 members is not enough.
Yeah.
There's too
buddies.
Much money involved. There's too much buddy-buddy involved.
Yeah.
You've got to get more people in there to split up the thought patterns
a
little.
No, so true. And they're all buddy buddies. They all vouched for each other.
Yep.
Then the mayor started vouching for him. I could never cast a vote for Pike. Oh, gosh. I don't know who could, Mayor Pike. But I'm telling you that they're the buddy-buddy part of it. You'll never see a dissenting voice. That's how you know. They're always on the same page 24/7. And it really, really worries me. They're giving land left and right, especially even Congressman Stewart. You know, when they all show up together at these events and they put Stewart out in front because he's the head honcho. He's the federal, you know, employee. And then they put everybody else according to their status. And they send out this flyer, you know, meet us at the park, and it's like all the establishment, and I just ugh. When are we ever going to get tired of that? When? And as conservatives and as people that love the Constitution and like truth, do you like getting stabbed in the back? I mean, is this like something, do we just like to feel good about the vote? I'm not quite sure why we do that when we know their record shows that they do the exact opposite. Why do we keep casting votes?
You know those gatherings you just mentioned where they all get together? There will come a time when those become mandatory.
Yeah.
They're going to, you don't get to say, right. Oh, I'm going to go. It's going to be, you will be there.
Yeah.
This, we need the photo op.
Right.
Show up.
You know, the establishment's tough gig. You get told what to vote for, you get told what to say, and this is why they're not stopping the state of emergency. Didn't they, you know, why aren't they? Ask your conservative. Why is he not stopping 10 months of states of emergency based on bogus? You know, when they started counting the masks, they're counting college students and high school students. And those are the ones, they're the ones that are masked up the most because they're forced to at school. And those are the numbers that are going up.
And they're the least likely to have a serious problem if they get the cold.
Right. I think the mask is making them sick. There's 3 different studies. Also on Facebook, people are being purged left and right. Ammon Bundy, permanently banned from Facebook. Ben McClintock, permanently banned from Facebook with no warning, no Facebook jail. And so this is happening quite a bit. I would suggest when you write about COVID on Facebook, you say CO instead of write it out. This software, the fact checkers are software. It's a software program that looks for buzzwords. So anytime you have a link, put space in the link. Don't just pop up a link. Get rid of the thumbnail, get rid of the link when you attach an article, and make sure that you put space and that you separate it out so that the scanner doesn't... I can't believe... I swear we live in communist China. But space out the link... People will know that to put it back together again. And also take out the words that are buzzwords. I don't write about Fauci. I don't write about the CDC. I say big agency. Okay? So you're going to have to change. You're going to have to be a little more stealthy about this and change up. If you want to stay on Facebook and share information, you're going to have to be stealthy about it. There's no other way around it.
And learn Newspeak.
That's so true. But yeah, this is not our... you know, bringing that out about Madeline is not the fun part of this job. And I really wish we didn't have to. I really wish this had been cleared up months ago, but it wasn't. And she'd been asked about it. To be fair, she'd been asked about it and didn't respond. And so you got to know that when that happens, that just gives me more like, ooh, that's not good. But with that being said, you know, would it become an issue? I mean, Romney did it. Well, Romney did it legally, though, by having an address here. So,
well, I think he had his deal planned mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah.
You know, because of religion.
Right, right.
And so he made sure that he bought some mm-hmm. real estate long enough
right.
in the past to make the difference.
Yeah.
There should be something more strict, I think. Who wants a representative that hasn't lived with you?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Right, I know. It doesn't matter what one we're talking about.
Right.
It's just anyone. But with that being said, you know, it's funny. I did research on this once where I looked at, you know, Senator McCain wasn't from Arizona. You got all these people that go into a state and claim it, you know, as their own. And we've had a lot of that go on in politics. It's kind of amusing, actually. You'll hardly ever find a homegrown person in their state. It's kind of getting rare now. So not that it means everything. I'd rather their understanding of the Constitution, their understanding, you know, be the better thing. But yeah, we were talking about the debate. We were talking about so much, by the way, I did post an article, and de-censored it, as far as putting out the bugs for the censors, 'cause it was already taken down, but it talked about the autopsies of COVID, and there were all these agencies that kept saying, we're doing some, we were told not to do autopsies by the CDC. Why were they told not to do autopsies by the CDC? And worldwide. And yeah. They started questioning this months in, and they only had one autopsy from China that everybody was going off of. And that when they started doing them, they did 150 of them where they weren't really finding COVID. Okay, so they didn't really know how to talk about that in the autopsy report because they said we don't know what it's pneumonia, or it's thrombosis from being on the laying in bed, mm-hmm. being on the ventilator, but not necessarily from COVID. And then the report came out, of course, buried in the 30s of the pages of the CDC report that said that they had never isolated the actual sample of COVID. That's strange, right? But in these reports, and I posted this on the Kate Daly Show page, that I go into the detail of it and their comments, because their comments, I think they were a little blown away, to tell you the truth, that they weren't finding anything. And that so what the CDC said was, okay, if you want to do an autopsy, you have to have it in this certain kind of room. You have to have all these stipulations. They made it very difficult in the rooms that are more rare to have an autopsy in, because you had to have a certain air circulation. Mm-hmm. I mean, they gave them a list of things. Then they also had to have it approved by public health to do the autopsy. Talk about making it very difficult. So you should ask yourself why that is. And of course, you're going to come to the conclusion that they didn't want anybody doing autopsies was really what it was about. And there really hasn't been a ton done. So I just wanted to share that with you.
You know, another thing that people can do, and mm-hmm. I found this to really work out well, is talk to your doctor openly.
Mm.
Because while they might not publicly say something about how they feel about this COVID situation, mm-hmm. privately in that little room, they may spill their guts.
Yeah.
And when you get the real opinion of what your doctor thinks about it compared to what they're told to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad to find out your doctor can be controlled in that way.
Right.
But I found a lot of doctors being quite honest about it myself.
Yeah. So, it is. I think when people finally realize that the whole proof of the pudding, okay, the whole proof in the pudding. Don't you love that phrase? Dog in the fight, proof in the pudding. We're full of them today. But that whole phrase, that really should have been in the autopsies.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the clear cut. See, they weren't lying. Yeah. Here's a dead person with all filled with COVID. But that's not the case. So when the hospital tells you they're overrun with beds, but doesn't tell you they have 89 of them, they only tell you now they have 32 and they can't disclose the rest. When they're telling you that they don't, in the wording in the articles, they say that COVID is high and they've maxed out on beds, but they don't actually tell you that it's because it's all COVID, right? They don't say it in the article. So always look to what they're not saying.
That's it.
They don't actually disclose that. They just keep insinuating the binary line with COVID in all the articles, thinking that you're going to walk away going, oh, we have all COVID in the hospital. And I don't like that kind of deception. That to me is deception, because now you're really trying hard to you know, take this information and cloud it and make sure that people don't get the idea. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. And so I would probably email Patrick Carroll, who keeps coming into the news and in here at Dixie Regional Medical, and ask him why he's not saying that and why he won't disclose now the 89 beds that he actually disclosed in June and why he's saying it's maximum. So they're getting money. They have to be for this, because we've already disclosed that on the show. But I just email him and ask him.
You know... They blame HIPAA a lot for not saying things. But HIPAA only matters if you know who the patient is.
I know, exactly. And here's the deal. They only claim HIPAA when they want to.
Yeah,
the rest
exactly.
of it, when we had like flu seasons and different deaths from different things, they've always disclosed, all the way up to the name, they've disclosed the information. So this whole age category thing, from 45 to 85, somewhere in there, that was the age, to me, just it reeks of deception.
Sure.
Public health department. And so when you're doing that, come on, they would always say before that the age.
Yes.
They had no problem with that because nobody knew who they were talking about.
And there's no reason they can today. An 85-year-old man died today.
Yeah. They're ramping up the articles. They're ramping up the BS, really, is what they're ramping up, because they want to do another lockdown. And as last night, as I was reviewing the articles for Italy, it's back. Second wave is here. Everyone's going to the hospital. And I thought, yeah, right. It's flu is what it is. Just like Redfield said from the CDC, they don't know the difference between flu and COVID. He admitted it. That's not me theorizing. So I just wanted you guys to know it's flu that's coming out, and they're going to say it's COVID, and they're going to force us into another lockdown before Thanksgiving, I think. I really do. If you were going to ask me off the air, it's what I'd say. So there. That's all I got. But the autopsies to me were so telling. When these agencies, and you know why they said don't do autopsies? Because it's contagious. I'm sorry. Do you not think they've ever done autopsies on things that are contagious before? And they were making such a big case out of this being so contagious. That's not true. We're wearing paper cloth masks, okay? It's not the plague where somebody touches somebody and they turn to salt or they disappear. I mean, this is getting ridiculous, the amount of information. So when the CDC told them not to do autopsies around the world, that should bother anyone.
Well, they act like these masks are hazmat suits.
I know.
They're
I
not.
Know. No, no. And there's three different studies from the CDC and from Australia and New Zealand that say that the masks don't work, and that masks actually made personnel at the hospital more sick the more they wore them. All right. Mm. Alan Stevo coming up and Joel Skousen, rockin' show. Thank you, Uncle Milty. And oh my gosh. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. KateDallyRadio.com for the podcast. KateDallyRadio.com for the podcast.